This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. On August 13th, the Olympic torch will be lit to signify the start of the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens, Greece. But with less than 4 months to go, many worry that everything will not be ready in time for the opening ceremonies. For example, the main swimming pool still has no water, and plans for a roof to shield athletes and spectators from the summer sun have been scrapped. The Olympic Stadium doesn't have a track, a field, or even seats yet. This month, the Greek government released a report that said only 15 of 39 venues are complete. Despite the admitted problems, Greek and Olympic officials say they're confident that everything will be done on time. Critics, though, say even if they do pull it off, the frantic schedule will leave little time to work the bugs out of the sites or, more important, coordinate security for the first Summer Olympics after September the 11th. Later in the program, we'll focus on a more immediate sporting event, the Kentucky Derby. Writer John Jeremiah Sullivan will join us to talk about his new book, Blood Horses, and we'll get a Derby preview from the man, Andy Beyer. But first, the 2004 Summer Olympics, ready or not. If you're going to the Games, plan to attend via TV, or changed your mind about going, give us a call. We'd also like to hear from any athletes who might be training for the Games. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Alan Abrahamson joins us now. He's a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times who's been covering the Olympics for the past 6 years. He just returned from Athens a week ago where he got a good look at how facilities for the Games are progressing. And he joins us now from the LA Times studios in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for being with us.
Pleasure.
So there's a great deal left to do, as I understand it.
You know, it's somewhere between the most dreadful farce you can imagine and the most serious thing you could ever, ever imagine. Some things are done, and they look great, and yet other things are not done. And you walk inside. I walked inside Olympic Stadium, and as you said just now, there's no track, there's no field, there's no seats, there's no scoreboard. You say to yourself, how can this possibly be? And imagine in this country if the Super Bowl was August 13th and the frickin' stadium wasn't done yet.
There is also, we're talking about the events, the games themselves, but there's also all kinds of transportation that's got to be ready, problems about housing, all of these ancillary facilities that aren't so ancillary if you're going to be in Athens, they're not ready yet either.
Well, the Olympic Village is actually done. It is one of the few things that is actually done, totally done. Now, is it secure yet? No. Do we think that the traffic pattern is going to work? God only knows. Do we think that the ships that are going to be berthed at the harbor in Piraeus, is that going to be a logistical nightmare or a calm, an easy thing? No one knows. There are so many unanswered questions yet, and the fact that the venues aren't done just leads to this feeling of concern, this incredible concern, because until the venues are done, the message of the games can't get out.
There is also enormous concern about security. Now, the Greeks say, look, we know we're going to be the first summer games after September the 11th. There's going to be, 40,000-50,000 security guards that are going to be taking part here. They're spending over $800 million on security, yet people are still worried.
Of course people are worried. You're going to have 10,500 athletes and usually an Olympic Summer Games has a formal accreditation list of about 20,000 people, and that's just the so-called Olympic family. Then there are dozens more thousands spectators, and the whole thing is huge. And if you want a grand stage to make a grand statement, this is the stage. And it's no accident that this was the stage that was picked in 1972 when, of course, 11 Israeli athletes and coaches were kidnapped and then murdered by Palestinian terrorists. No one has ever forgotten that.
How did the games get so far behind? I mean, the Athens was awarded the game, 7 years ago?
Yeah, it takes 7 years to get the incredible capital and operational thing that is the Olympic Games into a place where you can actually see it happen. And what happened in Greece is that the Greek authorities essentially wasted the first 3 years. The fantastically dynamic lawyer and business executive named Yana Angelopoulou Daskalaki, who led the Greek bid, was thereupon forced out by the Greek government, and everything just languished.
Languished.
Everything languished. There's the word.
Yep.
For 3 years, until Yana was brought back. The then president of the IOC, Juan Antonio Samaranch, issued what in soccer terms would be called a yellow card, and said, hey, you've got to bring her back, which they did. And essentially, the Greeks are now trying to do in 4 years what really takes seven to do.
And they say, look, we have thousands of years of history of brilliant improvisation at the last minute. Don't worry, we'll pull it off.
But that's absolutely true, and you do hear that. But the message of these games is not that Greeks have this fantastic history. The message of these games is, hey, we want you to connect with that fantastic history. And in the specific, discrete example of the Olympics themselves, we want everyone around the world to connect to the ancient values of peaceful competition through sport and brotherhood. And that's what makes these games, could make these games so special after September 11th. But the modern Greece wants the world to take notice that Greece now, in 2004, is a technologically oriented, capable, competent member of the European Union that is up to any modern challenge.
The elections in Greece, last month, ejected the long-ruling Socialist Party, installed a new conservative government. The new prime minister said he is going to personally make it his goal to get everything ready on time.
And that was welcomed by both the International Olympic Committee and by other officials and government agencies around the world. You know, the problem here is not necessarily the old government, although a lot of blame ought to and should be laid at their feet because they were in power for the last 6 years and well beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing you can say about the New Democracy government is that they are decisive. Prime Minister Karman Lee is in charge, and they take a decision, and if it doesn't work, they make another decision quickly thereafter, and they keep moving forward. The change is actually fairly dramatic, and you can see it in a lot of concrete ways.
Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. We're talking about the Olympic Games in Athens. They're supposed to start in August. Will they be ready? Our guest is Alan Abrahamson of the Los Angeles Times. And our first caller is Hal, who's with us on the line from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hi, I'm an independent travel writer that was in Athens to write about the Olympics and experienced some of the accommodation and transportation within the city to write about it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And found that, for instance, some of the metro lines that they're laying down, they were obviously racing the clock, working on it 24/7. But I was wondering if in fact, they're ever going to be able to complete that into some of the critical lines in time, like the lines from the airport into the city. And
yeah, there's a variety of train lines, as I understand it, Alan, subways, metros, as Hal's talking about, but also light rail and various other things.
Yeah,
exactly. There's a light rail, there's a metro, there's a tram that runs purportedly from the city center down to the south to the areas at the old airport, which some of your listeners may know as Hellenicon. Most everything will get done, with the exception of perhaps the last 3 kilometers on the tram line into the city center. And that's going to be, frankly, very complicated and convoluted. If you want to take the metro down to see, for instance, baseball or softball, you're going to have to take the metro to the last stop in Athens proper and then board the tram, when the idea had been you could take the tram all the way from the city center all the way down there, and that's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Hal, what was your impression when you were there?
I thought they'd done a great job, except for the one remaining line from Venizelos Airport into the city, which wasn't complete. And the other aspect of the whole thing was, of course, the accommodation, because I was told that all of the 4- and 5-star hotels, 80% of the rooms had been taken for Olympic officials and athletes and official people, and that left the question of what's going to be left for the ordinary visitor, plus the spectators coming into the city. Is there going to be a crunch, or is there actually going to be sufficient accommodation with even providing the things they're doing, like people renting their rooms out and houses out and bringing in boats next to the coast and so forth. It seems like it's going to be kind of a difficult thing to pull off.
And Alan, I guess that also raises the question about ticket sales. How are they doing?
I was asking Alan.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It depends on how you view the sales. If you're an optimist, you say that they are three-quarters of the way toward meeting their revenue projections for the games. If you're a pessimist or you're paid to write for the newspaper, you say, wow, terrific, but you've only sold 1.8 million of 5 million tickets. What are you going to do? And I think, excuse me, Neil, if the hotel, the housing issue is a very real one, but if so few tickets have been sold, I think there's a very good possibility that as we get into July, you'll see a lot more opening up of a lot more accommodation.
The major source of revenue, of course, is NBC Television, which is paying, just about $800 million for the rights to broadcast the games in the United States. Are they worried about their investment?
No. They are not worried about their investment. This telecast of these games is segment three of a five-part deal that NBC struck to televise the games from 2000 through 2008, and they have made money every time. And if you were betting, you would want to bet that NBC is going to make money this time again, too.
Mm-hmm. Hal, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go now to Jocelyn, and Jocelyn is in Ashland, Oregon.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if the speaker had seen the all-marble stadium where the marathon is planned to finish, and is that all ready to go?
It has been ready to go since 1896.
Is it, remarkable, and would you like to comment on that? And I guess I'll take my comment or your answer off the air.
Thanks, Jocelyn.
Okay.
Yep. Jocelyn, it is a remarkable place. It's called Panathinaikos Stadium, and it's in central Athens, and the Olympic flame, is burning there even as we speak. It is really an evocative place where you can sort of, especially at night, feel the ghosts of Olympics past, and it's really, really neat to be there.
And, of course, this is the original marathon from Marathon to Athens, but is the road itself ready?
No. Just like so many other things, and it's fantastic. You know, the contractor who was building the road purportedly went bankrupt in March, and sometimes you just want to tear your hair out and say, what's next?
Let's go to Jim, and Jim is with us from Sacramento.
Hi. I was just wondering, what if there's a worst-case scenario? Does the IOC have any oversight? Do they have agreements in the contract that at some point, you know, that you have a joint committee that makes decisions, some kind of troubleshooting mechanism when you've got so much to be done in such small time?
Are we talking about a security incident of the games, or are we talking about construction problems beforehand?
You've got majority of facilities aren't done. You know, obviously after 9/11, you've got, you know, some really, you know, incredible security concerns. And it just seems like Greece is, you know, kind of a porous place where you've got a lot of, you know, different cultural mixing there. Just seems very accessible, you know, for a security concern. And how does, you know, does the IOC, what do they do when you get down to, you know, decision things aren't happening in a timely manner? Do they have any?
Go ahead, Alan. We'll get an answer.
Yeah.
During the game, the way the games work is that the IOC is sort of tantamount to a franchisor, and the organizing committee of whatever edition of the games we're talking about is the franchisee. And in this particular instance, responsibility lies with the Greek organizing committee and the Greek government. The IOC exercises oversight over the 7 years over what is happening. Now, if there was a crisis during the games about whether the games ought to go on, that is, of course, in the IOC's purview. But if the road isn't done, if the building isn't built, it's not the IOC's job to build. It's their job to monitor. And I assure you, they have been monitoring very, very closely.
And when we come back for a break, Jim, by the way, thanks very much for the call.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from a break, we'll be speaking with a spokeswoman for the IOC. So if you have questions, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or email us, totn@npr.org. Are you going to Athens? I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're discussing the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens. With less than 4 months to go, many Olympic sites are still under construction. Are they going to be ready Is security going to be ready? Is this games going to be a financial success? Well, if you're going to watch the Olympics in the stands at Athens or on the couch at home, give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255, and our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Alan Abrahamson, who's been covering the Olympics for the Los Angeles Times. And, Alan, if you would, give us a comparison. How does the level of preparation for these games differ with, Sydney, Atlanta, Los Angeles, the games of recent years?
Yeah, let me give you two comparisons, Neil, one to Sydney and one to Atlanta. In Sydney, everything was done, built a year ahead of time, and the local organizers had a full year to conduct full-scale test events. And everyone says now, in hindsight, that those games were maybe the best ever. In Atlanta, there were almost no controversies ahead of time, and yet come games time, it was clear that there were problems with technology, there were problems with the transport system, and worst of all, there were security problems that resulted in a bomb going off, deaths and injuries. And so, the Olympics is all about crisis management. Even in the off years, it's all about crisis management. Yeah, because so many things need to be attended to. And the lesson of Atlanta is that people were complacent beforehand and didn't know what hit them. The lesson of Sydney is that everything was done and power and authority was concentrated in a single person, the government minister, Michael Knight, who doubled as president of the organizing committee, who was decisive, quick-minded, tough, and knew how to make decisions. And that is what a successful Games needs. And that is what they've got in Yana Angelopoulou Daskalaki. And for those who doubt, yes, the Greeks do have an amazing ability to pull things off at the last minute. And I must tell you, Yana is an amazing, amazing executive.
Let's go back to the phones. And Talat joins us from St. Louis in Missouri.
Yes, Mr. Kuhn, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have two daughters who are traveling through Greece and Turkey these days. In fact, they are in Athens as of today. And they have gone around and seen some of the venues, and they said, they emailed me and said, Mom, nothing seems like it will be done for another year. So they were shocked to see how close the time is to hold the Olympics, and it seems like the city is not ready for it.
Take
my comments off the air.
Okay, thanks very much.
It's not ready, but this is April, and the games start August 13th. I laugh. My friends say to me, are the games going to be ready? Are the games going to be ready? And my usual stock answer is that the opening ceremony begins at 8 o'clock in the evening on the night of Friday, the 13th of August, and the last paint will dry at 7:52 or 3.
As you say, this is all going to be at last minute, but are the bugs going to the tests, as you pointed out, even in Atlanta where they had problems, and Sydney, all those places were tested repeatedly ahead of time. I'm told, for example, they've had three security drills in Athens, and all of them have been, less than brilliant.
Well, that's a fair description. But, the point of security exercises beforehand is to discover, to unearth just those sorts of problems so you can mistake them when lives are not on the line. Things will be tested, although I remain unconvinced about the scope, nature, and extent of the testing. For instance, I was there last Friday for a test event at the canoe kayak facility south of the city at Hellenicon. The facility is brilliant, and one of the vice presidents of the International Canoeing Federation said afterwards that the facility is probably the best in the world, and God knows it probably is. But to get there, we encountered almost no security, and at the time of the medal ceremony, there were 28 people in the stands. Now, that is just not an Olympic-level test. So who knows? I mean, yes, test events are going on, but what is the full reach of those tests?
Let's get a call from Kathy, and Kathy's with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Listen to you every day.
Thank you.
We had tickets to Australia, Salt Lake City, Atlanta, went to all of them. We had tickets to Athens and canceled them the day they took out the insurance policy. We had watched eagerly all the way through the planning stage, and it didn't look like it was going to be ready, and then with the terrorism threat and the insurance policy, we just backed out.
I can understand. The IOC had been negotiating for insurance coverage for years, and the timing of this is at best awkward and at worst a public relations disaster.
And what does this insurance cover? Is it natural disasters?
It covers things like earthquakes. It supposedly covers terrorism. But who knows? Nobody's seen the policy. Nobody knows what kind of exclusions are in it. The IOC depends on the games and more importantly, the sports federations that run the games at the games themselves really rely on the revenue from the games to keep afloat in between editions of the games. And the IOC has long been in the market for a policy that would give it enough money to carry everybody should an edition of the games run into some disaster. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's true that they've been in the market for a long time, but this insurance deal, which was just announced last week, the timing is just, as I say, awkward.
An email question on this point from Tim Herndon in Bartlett, Tennessee. Am I not mistaken that there were Olympic Games held after September the 11th, 2001 in Salt Lake City, Utah in February 2002? He writes, as I recall, there were no terrorist events then. Why the concern in Athens? Why would the risk be different?
Well, two reasons. Yes, he's quite right, of course. But one, those were Winter Games, and the Winter Games were about a quarter the size of a Summer Games. Two, Greece is a very different animal, and Athens is a very different place than Salt Lake City. You know, if you're looking for places that are relatively easy to defend, Australia and Salt Lake come fairly quickly to mind. Athens is not one of those places. Athens is an hour by plane from the Middle East. It is at the intersection of a lot of volatile places. It has more miles of coastline than I think the comparison is something like the eastern seaboard of the United States. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's right. You know, the land borders have traditionally been fairly porous, and it's a small country with not the sort of resource that the United States has. So those are reasons people are anxious.
Well, joining us now from Greece is Alexis Papahelis. He's the anchor of the weekly current events program in Greece that's called Fakali. I hope I'm pronouncing that somewhere close to being correct. He joins us now by phone from Athens. And Mr. Papahelis, thanks for joining us today.
That's quite right. Thank you.
What does the Olympics coming to Athens mean to the Greek people? This must be very, very important.
Well, we think of it as a sort of a big party and, you know, sort of a huge festival. And people are very excited. I mean, we are very excited that the games are coming back to, you know, where they were basically born. You know, of course, the city has been quite upset by all the preparations. You know, if you walk downtown Athens now, you'll see a lot of dirt and a lot of excavations and so on. But I think we're going to get ready in time.
So you think that everything is going to be ready on time?
Well, you know, it's sort of. We have the tendency to get things ready at the last minute. It's sort of, you know, I mean, it's sort of a trait of ours. But I've talked to people who are involved in the preparations and foreign officials who, you know, follow this very closely. And I'm quite confident that, you know, 99% of the things and the venues and so on are going to be ready in time.
Now, what about the people of Athens? I've read that a lot of the people who live there say, look, come August, we're going to go away for the month of August, come back after the games are over.
Well, there was some, you know, sort of speculation to that effect. But, you know, I think a lot of people were sort of turned off initially because there were all these rumors that there would be that traffic would be banned, you know, completely in Athens and nobody would be able to get around. The more people know about the actual, you know, regulations during the games and the fact that they would be able to move around, I think you're going to see much more participation in this and you're going to see many more spectators, you know, Greeks staying in town in order to watch the games.
What about the rising costs? As I understand it, the cost overruns is now, what, about $1.2 billion?
Yeah, and this is sort of a black box to us. It's I don't think we're going to know really the cost of the games until, you know, probably December of this year. It's going to take, you know, quite a while to actually, you know, have an account of, you know, all the budget overruns and so on. And especially the security budget has really sort of blown out of proportions. And this is normal. I mean, when we bid for these games, it was before 9/11. So we didn't have in mind the real dimensions of the security preparations, you know, everything else that has to be in place.
How is it at the moment? You say life has been pretty well disrupted by all this construction. I assume that particularly on the highways and the transit systems.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of foreign colleagues who come here and they cover, you know, the preparations, they're very frustrated. I tell them to be patient. You know, we're all trying to be patient. It's difficult to drive around Athens these days. You know, there are major arteries that are being rebuilt. You know, the tramway is being built at the moment. There's so much construction going in downtown Athens this time, but you know, I mean, I think everything will be sort of wrapped up in a couple of months. Obviously, it has to be.
Any advice for a visitor about how to navigate the games or Greek customs that visitors should know about?
Well, you know, when we know yes, we mean no. You know, that's sort of a basic thing for our foreign visitors. I think they should just come here and enjoy the. There's a lot of spontaneity in the place, and a lot of people are, ready to share sort of our way of life, with foreign visitors. Greeks are, very hospitable traditionally to Americans and everybody else. I think it'll be a fun time.
Well, let's get some callers on the line with you. This is Jennifer, who's with us from Kaiserslautern in Germany.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I basically just wanted to mention that I've been planning to go to the Olympics for 4 years. I was in Sydney and had a wonderful time, and I have since decided not to attend. I have a very close friend who is coaching one of the softball teams that will be there, and I'm still not going to go. And I just wanted to make that comment.
What's your principal concern?
I am just nervous that they are not prepared enough for possible terrorist activity. And it may not be a large organization that conducts this attack, but it could be a small organization that was, as mentioned before, just wants to make a point. And this may be the time, the easiest time for them to do it.
Alexis Papahelis, what can you tell her to reassure her?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'll tell her that nobody can guarantee the foolproof security. I mean, we saw what happened in Centennial Park in Atlanta. It's hard to, in these times after 9/11, it's very hard to for anybody to guarantee full security. And nobody knows if there's a sleeper cell, of Al-Qaeda waiting, to operate here in Athens. At the same time, I have to say, we have every possible intelligence and law enforcement agency of the world working here with a lot of agents. There's been a lot of cooperation with the Greek government. And I think really, I mean, NATO is involved with, early warning planes and everything else, on the shelf. So it's hard for me to sort of think of what else Greece can do in order to guarantee security. But at the same time, there are no absolute guarantees in this world, not in this life.
Alan Abrahamson, is Jennifer's concerns misplaced?
No, I think everybody has to figure out for themselves their own comfort level. But I quite agree that everything that it can humanly be done is being done. And, I mean, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there happily.
Jennifer, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And have a great time, even if you don't go to Athens.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. As I understand it, one of the concerns, Alan, is that a lot of different countries want to bring in their own security forces. Obviously, the Israelis have done this ever since the tragedy in Munich, but 150 Americans and Scotland Yard now wants to come as well?
Oh, the real issue here is whether those agents are going to be armed. It would be unthinkable not to send your own security agents with your team. Can you imagine if something had happened, and let's just make this up, and an American, God forbid, is killed, and the authorities would have to go back to name your place, Wichita, Kansas, and say to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, I'm sorry we didn't protect your daughter or son because we weren't there? I mean, that would be unthinkable. So, of course, there will be Americans traveling with the American team. The real issue is whether they will be armed.
And has that been resolved yet, Alexis Papahelis?
No, it has not. I was just interviewing the deputy commissioner of Scotland Yard there in London, and he was explaining to me how complicated the arrangement could be. I mean, imagine if you have armed guards and if there's a shootout between American guards and terrorists, or, supposed terrorists who turn out not to be terrorists. I mean, all these things are very, very sort of sensitive. My understanding is that, if the threat level is going to be that high, if another terrorist event happens in Europe or something like that, the Greek government would be able to sort of work out an arrangement where the Greek authorities would keep control and command, but some of the foreign teams would have armed guards. It's going to be extremely complicated, though, and I think, it will take a bit more time to be resolved.
We're talking about preparations for the Athens Summer Olympic Games. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. This is Alex, who's with us from New York City.
Hello there.
Hi.
Well, I was just going to say I am definitely planning on going to the games. Wild horses couldn't keep me away.
And I'm
looking forward to it. I understand there's some pessimism on the part of your guest, but you should maybe compare the relative amounts of money being spent on security here and in previous games. And I'm very much looking forward to it.
And what are you particularly looking forward to, Alex?
Well. The marathon, actually, I bought my ticket for the final of the marathon, as you mentioned, in the older stadium, and the 200-meter final as well, because Greece has a favorite in that event.
Alex, I hope you have a wonderful time.
Thank you very much.
We're getting a story off the wires, Alex Papahelis, about the Greek top union leader expressing strong opposition today to a government plan to impose a 2-month vacation ban on tens of thousands of workers who are providing services considered vital for the August 13th to 29th games. Can you tell us any more about that?
Well, I knew there was some union opposition, and I know the government is willing to negotiate. And, you know, I think the final outcome will be just a bit more money, perhaps, you know, sort of a bonus. I know the policemen are getting a bonus because they're not going to get any vacation. So as any good union leader, they're just negotiating for, you know, a bit of a pay raise.
So it's just a maneuvering rather than a threat to the games.
I think so. And I think everybody here has sort of understood, you know, the need to, you know, cooperate with the government and the IOC in order to, you know, provide for the maximum sort of service and security and so on. So you're going to see everybody sort of has to be in their positions, you know, the ambulance drivers and the policemen and the public servants, you know, be in place during July, August, and, you know, half of September.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Roberta, and Roberta's from San Francisco. Roberta, are you there? Apparently not. Let's go instead to Anne. And Anne, we just have a short piece of time. Anne says she lives in Athens.
Yes, hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Anne.
Yes, I just wanted to point out that under normal circumstances, August is the month that all civil servants take off. That's their holiday. And so living in Athens during the month of August usually means that it's empty. So I would assume that for the Olympic Games, most of the people that will be there will be only the essential workers plus the visitors to the Olympic Games. So getting around should be an awful lot easier than it appears to be right now to people that are visiting now, because it is a zoo right now because they're working to finish things up. But it won't be like that in August.
And thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And I hope you enjoy either your vacation or the games themselves.
I will be at the games.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And thanks very much to our guests, Alexis Papahelis. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And have a great time.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Alexis,
see you in the games.
Bye-bye. Alexis Papahelis is the anchor of a weekly current events program in Greece called Fakali, and he joined us by phone from Athens. And Alan Abrahamson, again, thank you very much for joining us today.
A total pleasure.
Alan Abrahamson is a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times. He's been covering the Olympics for the past 6 years, and he joined us from the studios of the Los Angeles Times in Los Angeles. We had arranged to speak with an official at the International Olympic Committee. Regrettably, we were not able to reach her during the show, and we apologize for that. When we come back from a break, we're going to be talking about horses and a more immediate sporting event, the Kentucky Derby. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.